Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince and Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. They have been everywhere covering high school football. Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette is here, and our resident troublemaker, Roger Weiss.
You say the nicest things, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm buttering you up. I know. How you doing, guys?
Not too bad. Playoff time.
Yeah, it is.
Playoffs.
It's exciting.
Playoffs. We don't know nothing about those stinking playoffs.
You kidding me?
You got to give that with a little more oomph, though.
I didn't know how long I wanted to go on that bit.
Francis hasn't stopped smiling since last week, by the way. I wonder why. And Frank Wolf is, yes, Frank, to answer your question, you do have to listen to Francis for a whole year now, as Francis has now the ability to smack talk.
Yeah, I went afterwards to Pewdie's Pub. There's all these alumni there, all glad. In fact, I was the owner. The founder had left the game early about 2 minutes to go, and he thought West was going to win right before the fumble. And so he gets to the bar, he tells everybody, oh, East lost, blah, 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 sad. And all of a sudden, other people come in like, no, East won. They were able to win. And then I retold him what happened after the fumble.
And Francis came
and
in
I got a free
said,
beer.
Run!
See, now that's the key to the whole thing,
yeah,
right there.
Well, I mean, rivalry weekend was amazing, and you had, obviously Kenmore East beating Kenmore West, but Tonawanda finally getting the monkey off their back after 18 years. They've defeated North Tonawanda, and the way that they stormed the field and how excited they were over it, that was pretty cool. So you got to love rivalry
Wait,
weekend.
You forgot about the biggest one here.
Don't even, hey, my Lockport Lions were off the
shrine. First win.
First win, baby.
Over Star Point.
Over Star Point. Hey, I like rivalry week so much because you've got, such a historic rivalry like TNT. Then you got a young rivalry like ours in Lockport and Star Point, only been playing for 11 years. And,
mm-hmm.
And then you got Dunkirk and Fredonia have only been playing for, 104 years, Anthony? Something like that?
Man, that's amazing.
I saw somewhere Albion and Medina were playing for like 120 or something.
Wow. Wait, who is it that's the longest? It's Bradford and Olean?
Yeah, but they haven't played in the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. I know one time that was.
Because that used to be their Olean's out of non-league game, whatever you want to call it. That was, because they're, walking distance, I guess, across the border for Pete's sake. Well, jogging distance. I don't know if it'd be walking distance. But
you jog, I'll walk.
Really. The thing that still amazes me, though, the TNT game, just about every kid on that Tonawanda team wasn't even born the last time Tonawanda beat North Tonawanda. That's outrageous.
It's amazing.
I was in kindergarten, I think, that year. So
well,
that's crazy.
It was like during the week over on WBEN, I was talking with one of our guys, and we were talking about the Bills. And he's saying, yeah, basically his entire life he's only seen one playoff game. And I'm like, wow. So I said, let me tell you about what it's like to go through four straight Super Bowls.
Oh, man.
He's like, he couldn't imagine it. I said, yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, in fact, what do they say? If the Bills win tomorrow at, 6-1, every time the Bills have been 6-1, they've gone on to the Super Bowl. Not saying it's going to happen.
Just
something
saying.
Something to think about.
Just saying.
Now you were talking.
I gotta go back to either 64 or 65 to.
Yeah, when I was one.
Yeah, when there wasn't a Super Bowl. I want to say that one. Well, I better not.
You better not. Don't have a senior moment on us, Raj. Well, you mentioned how happy you were because you were in Lockport last week for that game. Well, I was on the other side of town at Outwater Park where my Niagara Falls Junior Football Club Cobras won the consolation bracket, and we defeated your Lockport team 13-0. What a way to close out the year. Couldn't be more proud of those boys. They worked hard, and they had a lot of fun. So, and I'd like to thank Chuck Fink for allowing me to be a part of that coaching staff for the last 3 years. So we'll see what happens coming up.
Anthony, what? You were at Lockport last Saturday. Kyrie was at Lockport last Saturday. I was at Lockport last Saturday. Why didn't we do another remote for the show? Remember the last remote at Orchard Park?
Oh, in the van?
In your van, your SUV, whatever?
No, what? That was the station van. What happened was we were going to broadcast, because we were doing the afternoon game, it was going to be Orchard Park playing Clarence. That was a playoff game.
It was a homecoming
game. So we had set it up that we would, since we were going to be out there anyway doing the game, Brian Koziel and myself, let's do inside high school sports. We could go up in the press box. Well, somebody forgot to unlock the press box.
Oh, geez.
It was Mike Ferrantino. Nope. It was great to see Mike last week, by the way. He stopped by after the show. The late
Daryl Gustavo, a.k.a. Milt Lattimore.
Yourself and me, and we were crammed in the engineer's van. And we're passing a stick mic back and forth inside the van doing the show in the parking lot. It was freezing out. I think it was raining a little bit. We had the people in the concession stand cracking up laughing. That was, you know, during the break. Okay, you know, in a few minutes, get those hot dogs ready. We're going to be hungry.
Yeah, because they're listening to the radio, you know, with the, what, 7-second delay or whatever it is, but they can hear everything they're saying, and, you know, they're laughing at us, but we were having a good old time. But
we did, and it wound up being a great game that afternoon.
That was the day, that was my first encounter with Jimmy Fitz. Remember Jimmy Fitz?
Oh, my God.
Wildcat quarterback for Orchard Park. I saw this guy coming at me.
Big.
This guy's a quarterback. I said, dude, if you don't make a half right, I am so dead. Because he was coming literally right at me at the sidelines.
I remember that play.
I was a freshman in high school with that team. I was a sophomore.
I think it would be the 2011 or 2012 football season, the last time OP won the state.
Yeah, I think it was 2011.
Because they went all the way and won the state that year.
Yeah, because we played them my senior year the following year after. So, yeah, that must have been my junior season.
Yeah, it was so much fun. All right, guys, let's get into news and notes because we are going to recap last night's games and Thursday's games and Wednesday's games. Now we're into not only are the playoffs going on, but we also have the Chuck Funky Bowl going on. We also have consolation matchups going on because they want to get everybody in. What did we say? What was the number, Francis?
I think like 10 games is the goal for each team
right
to play.
Which is great. Tom.
And here's something we never get a chance to talk about. How about St. Francis winning Monsignor Martin? Because we usually don't get a chance to talk about them because they're Saturday games. But a big Friday night, St. Francis
we'll
winning the Monsignor
definitely
Martin.
Definitely get into that. And probably we'll lead off with that when we get into the scores or after we read the scores. Well, I've been telling you all year, or at least most part of the year, about NASAs. That's the league that I belong to, the Niagara Year Youth Sports Association. Well, they have a concession stand battle. And Roger loves when I bring this one up. And the
especially when you rub it in about those ribs from 2 weeks
ago.
They were
so good. They were so good. And tomorrow at Sparky Adams Field, they are going to announce the winner. So down to the finals. Now, last week I speculated as to who I thought two of them would be in. I said Wilson and the Buffalo Vets will most likely be in it, and I was right. So here's the rundown of the organizations who have advanced to the finals. Black Rock Riverside, my old stomping grounds. Buffalo Vets, as I said. Cheektowaga, KAT, great cheeseburgers there. Louport, Lockport, also good cheeseburgers. Niagara Weedfield, North Tonawanda, Tonawanda Football Club, I think Pendleton, Williamsville, and Wilson. So those are going to be the finalists. They will be announced between, around 1:45 and 2 o'clock on Sunday at Sparkiatis Field. KAT is hosting this year's NASA Championship Games. So
this segment being brought to you by Inside High School Lunch.
All right, so now I did want to pass this one, and thanks to Len Jankowicz for sending this one in. And we have the 2019 Senior and Junior Football Recruiting Night coming up Tuesday, December 3rd, from 6 to 8:30. It's going to be held at New Era Field. You can go to the Pepsi Club, enter through Gate 6. The event is conducted to help expose our quality area juniors and seniors to as many college football coaches as possible in a casual, convenient setting. The event will provide an outstanding opportunity for college coaches to meet our junior and senior athletes and parents and discuss a variety of recruiting and financial issues. So if you have questions, anything like that, this is a perfect event. And Western New York Amateur Football Alliance does a great job of putting this together every year.
So this is actually in the stadium, not in the field house?
Yeah, it's just going to
be in the stadium.
Yeah, in the stadium at the Pepsi Club.
Yeah, he said Gate 6. That's why I was questioning.
No, Tony, I've had a chance to do this as a dad. So I've been through this as a dad, this whole thing. What Len does here is phenomenal. You will see some of the best Division II and Division III programs here from the Fishers, the Alfreds, the Ithacas, they'll all be there, as well as the Division IIs, the Edinburghs, that whole Division II realm will be there. If you want a chance to talk to the coaches or the recruiting coordinator, because the recruiting coordinators may be there instead of the coach, this is a great opportunity for face-to-face time for both of you.
What's the type of information, as you said, you went through this as a parent. What's kind of the information that you were able to pick up out of there, of attending?
Yeah, so if you're talking to the college for the first time, have your film at least ready to go or your link and everything ready to go for them, and also be able to talk transcripts at this time. What are your grades that are out there? Because they're going to ask you, where do you stand? Because some of these schools, it's a certain grade that you need to be able to do to get in to their college, right? Or a certain SAT number that you need to get into their college. And they'll know that. And they'll be right up front with you at this point that says, hey, listen, you need to get a little bit more. You need to take the SATs again. These are great conversations that you're going to have with their coach because they'll tell you exactly where they stand.
So this is going to set you up for college. This is going to point you in the right direction, especially for the juniors, because it gives you a whole year to prepare.
Yeah, and just having gone through this as a player, I know it's really helpful to get, that name-to-face connection with the coaches too. Because, it's always nice to, we've been talking through phone or email, whatever. But, when you physically get that contact of actually speaking with them and things like that, it just helps build a rapport. But
does that help you get a good feel for, it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to like playing for these. I like where they're at. I like their philosophy and things like that. So it really does help you match up. What's the right school for you?
Right, for sure. Like you were saying, the philosophy, like you can talk, what type of schemes do you guys run? What is the weight room like? How do you fit in? What could my playing time potentially be? Just little things like that you can talk with the coaches early on.
What an amazing event this is, and I highly recommend attending. Roger, you had something?
Tom, quick question. SAT scores versus grades. If you have one, you're good in one, but not so good in the other, is that a good thing? Does the fact that you're good at one help, or is the fact that you're bad in the other a deterrent?
Not that you're going to like this answer. It depends. Like on the school, some are going to tell you need both. Some are going to say that one can help wash out the other. It depends. Usually the first one is grades that they're going to look at. That's number one. Then second is the SATs, but very close to the first. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But if you notice, the first question that will always get asked is, what are your grades?
Yeah.
And then the follow-up will be, what are your SATs? But it also depends on, listen, not that I want to say one school is better than another, right? But Ithaca is going to give you one answer, right? But SUNY, one of the SUNY schools may give you a completely different answer than what it is out there. And even SUNY school, the SUNY school is going to give you a different answer just because of how hard it is to now get into some of the SUNY schools because of the financial aid package that they got a chance to offer you.
Yeah, and, I know for myself personally, I was – I was an honor student, but I didn't have a great SAT score initially. So that was something that some schools were like, eh, I don't know. So once I retook it and got a higher score on it, you know, then it helped me. But, you know, like that was the difference between me going to a school like a U of R versus, you know, me going to a UB, you know, because you know, the academic standard was just a little different from what it was with UB. Yeah, you know what I mean? So
yeah, U of R, that's a good trick if you can get into that
yeah,
school.
Seriously.
All right, now it's time for our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, go to livefit.com to nominate Coach of the Week. And this week's G&G Fitness Coach of the Week, Tonawanda football coach Joe Kelly, their first win over rival North Tonawanda in 18 years. Congratulations to Coach Kelly. Now, on to the action from this week. Francis, why don't you kick it off?
All right, let's start with the Chunk Funky Bulls. Class B, Loopport defeated Depew 27-23, and Dunkirk defeated Burgard 36-26. They will meet on Wednesday for the Class B Chunk Funky Bowl. On to Class A, Williamsville South, a shutout 38-0 over Niagara Wheatfield. That was on Thursday. Also on Thursday, Hamburg hosted West Seneca East. We're still awaiting the score. The winner of that game will face Will South on Wednesday for the Class A Funky Bowl. Class
Double
A.
Francis, West Seneca East won that game like 28-6.
Okay, then they would get it. They haven't reported the score yet.
No.
Yet.
Double A right now, they're doing a little different this year because the way things panned out. The highest losing seed from this week, which probably will be Clarence, likely, will face the second highest losing seed. So if everything goes to form today, if Bennett beats Niagara Falls, it'll be Clarence hosting the Falls in the Class AA Chunk Funky Bowl.
Either way, they will host the loser of this game this afternoon.
Okay.
Some other games on Wednesday and Thursday, Eden 20, Springville 13, East Aurora beat Medina 21-19, Lackawanna 12-6 over Alden, and Amherst beating North Tonawanda 48-16. Thursday, Kenmore East 36-35 over Williamsville East. Lakeshore defeating Maryvale 26-13 as well.
And then you had last night's action in Class D, Salamanca all over Cattaraugus, Little Valley, 40-12. You had Southwestern beating Silver Creek, Forestville 49-21. Portville took care of Akron 26-7. Wilson over Allegheny Limestone 37-21 to remain unbeaten. You had Albion beating Tonawanda 17-14. Pioneer over Cheektowaga 31-28. Maritime beating Iroquois 36-12. South Park over Will North 14-7. West Seneca West 27, Star Point 8. McKinley in a close one over Sweet Home 19-18. Orchard Park Rolling Hutch Tech 41-6. Jamestown beating Frontier 49-7. Lancaster over Clarence 23-17. And then over in Monsignor Martin action, Bishop Tymon beating St. Mary's 19-7, and Franny's 38, Canisius 27. You can follow along in today's Buffalo News or in the Niagara Gazette. There's your scores from this week. I want to start off with this Franny's game, guys. Wow, 602 yards of offense. I mean, that's some serious numbers.
For St. Francis, just yeah. For St. Francis.
Yeah, for that's what I said.
Oh, you just said in general.
No,
I said like total game.
Franny. Okay.
Franny's, you know, Francis, Franny, St. Francis, St.
I didn't hear the Franny's part. Okay. I just heard 602. I thought you meant total yardage for the game.
No. Francis, when we say St. Francis, our apologies. We're not talking about you.
So, I mean, you are a saint in our minds, but, you know,
but, talking about
the
school.
So here's the question I threw at Francis last night. When's the last time we heard a quarterback running back combo make a finalist for the Conley Cup?
Exactly.
Because tonight the claim was made by St. Francis running back that says, I need to be invited along with the quarterback.
Man, I'm trying to think.
Making it difficult on the Conley.
Tony, if it was me, and I only picked one, I would pick, as we say in the old country, Xavier Janschlik.
I'm not even going to try
Xavier Janzlik is how everybody says it. This guy's on the field most of the game. I just, and pound for pound, he got to be one of the best. He's just a pleasure to watch. So, yeah, I'd be shocked if we didn't have two finalists from St. Francis in the
But at those spots, Cup. Very rarely do you see the two power spots like that, a quarterback and a running back from the same school. I don't know the answer to it. I'm sure somebody will just, you know, blare it right out. But Janzlik was phenomenal last night. And his burst through the line when he actually got the ball was unbelievable. It really was. And flip on the other side, Canisius' running back did real well also. But when you're putting up, I think he just missed the 300-yard mark. Didn't he, Janzlik did?
Yeah, he was pretty close.
270 or 280 something. It was real close to
he had 100 yards in like the first quarter almost.
It was unbelievable. I mean, there's something that was very specific that you caught if you were watching this game, and that was Canisius had two different defensive lines. They had a heavy line and then a smaller line that would come into play to give their heavies a rest. Every time the heavies came out of the game, Janzlik went nuts. And it was right up the gut, and that's where he went for his 55s, his 30s. He went for huge runs.
So he's gouging them.
Oh, I mean, and that's when the offensive line for St. Francis could take over and really open up those holes. And once Janzlik got through that first level, he was gone. He really was. You know, but give credit to the coaching staff at St. Francis because they noticed it every single time out in the field. When heavies came off, it was a run right up the middle, and they exploited it and was huge every single time that they went after it.
Or they're telling Ritz to change the play of the line.
You know what I mean? It was just.
Well, does he have that option to audible?
He may. He's a very good quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
And I will also tell you something that St. Francis does better than any other school in Western New York. They run the screenplay better than I've ever seen a high school team locally do.
Which, if you do right, is
it's phenomenal. And they take it for yards.
They did it on like fourth and one.
If you don't give it away immediately when the ball snaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes, you know, the linesmen are almost leaning that way, and you can pick it out from the last row in the corner of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
If you disguise that, the first count to two, it'll work brilliantly.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, get back to talking about last night's action. Where are we now? Kind of get you set up for the next round of playoffs. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. We're talking about the playoffs, where we are right now. And before the break, we were talking about Franny's and beating Canisius. So now Franny's, St. Francis, for you, Francis. They are in the driver's seat. The championship's going to be at UB this year?
I'm glad to see that.
For Monsignor.
Yeah, Monsignor, it's at UB. So next week is still the regular season. I think the A's and B's play each other again.
St. Francis will have a bye.
So it'll have a bye, and it'll be Canisius at Joe's.
At Joe's, okay.
2 weeks from today.
Got it.
Tymon will also have a bye based on their win last night for the small schools in that. St. Mary's will have to play O'Hara.
I think, yeah, they host them.
And then the winner will play. Would that be a doubleheader at UB?
I believe that's what they did last year. I think that's what they're going to keep.
So I believe next Saturday, O'Hara is going to host Canisius in the, will that be the final?
The final regular season game. They're going to finish up the A-B crossovers.
Yeah, each one of the B schools will play one of the A schools next Saturday.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now let's get into Section 6 and where we are right now. Couple of minor upsets. Tom, you talked about how this is going to be the year. Watch out for some of the lower seeds being the highest because, really, essentially, they're not that much difference between them.
Well, we talked about the B division is what we were really tearing up. So what we say is anywhere from 5 through 8 we thought could win their games.
Yeah.
Pioneer and Cheektowaga. What a game that was. We kept saying yeah, so this is normally what we'd be talking about.
And fifth seed by all the tiebreakers.
That's absurd. That's literally absurd.
But I mean, you look at the eighth seed, which was Iroquois, was a one loss team as an eighth seed, right? Yeah. So what does that say
with the leading rusher?
Right, with the leading rusher in Western New York. There you go.
And that was a close game last night, too. I guess two pick sixes in the fourth quarter made the score one-sided. The game up until that point was a lot closer than the final score would indicate.
Yep, that one, you know, Pioneers, the fifth seed, wins. Tonawanda went down early to Albion, came raring back, lose 17-14 in that game. And then today we have the new Fane Olean matchup, which, you know, Olean can absolutely is going to be in that game.
Yeah.
So you look at it, and everything that we said of those matchups came to fruition. But, you know, I think the first thing you got to point out is that Pioneer Cheektowaga. If you were watching that all night, it was Cheektowaga take the lead, Pioneer come back. Cheektowaga get it, Pioneer come back. It was a back and forth with Pioneer winning it in the very end of the game.
Tom, I don't know if you saw the highlights on Twitter. Spectrum put it out. There was one pass by the sophomore quarterback Pioneer. He threw it in triple coverage, and Trey Hill comes down with the ball in the end zone.
What, was he mossed on that one?
He definitely got mossed on that one.
But, I mean, it is exciting to see. We knew it was going to be that B division was going to be a very close division, you know, all the way to the end. And it just proved it the first
week. If you think about it, this is great for high school football. When you're able to generate a buzz like this, where the next day people, did you see this? Did you see that? It's great for the game. It maybe get people more excited. Hey, let me go check out one of these games. This sounds like a good time.
But let's give Pioneer a lot of credit. They left that stadium last year, and you knew they were heartbroken because they felt last year was their year. And they get a chance this year, first round of the playoffs, to play that exact same team, a perennial powerhouse in Cheektowaga, and, you know, a big win right there for Pioneer. So give Pioneer a lot of credit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when's the last time Cheektowaga's, other than matchup games, their last game was in Week 8?
Well, it was the first thing I told you this morning. Like, it's so weird not seeing Cheektowaga going to the stadium.
And they're 6-6, and they finished the season 6-2. I mean, it's not like an off year or anything for them.
Yeah, you know, and then the other game that caught my eye was the finish of the Lancaster Clarence game that was also a big one. So we already knew that Clarence had beaten Lancaster early in the year. Lancaster has a lead going into the last 2 minutes of that game. Clarence scores late to actually bring it within one score. Clarence kicks the onside kick, recovers it, and now you're talking about gets a chance to go down and win the game. Lancaster's defense comes up huge. Mahoney with a big sack to actually get the ball back into Lancaster's hand so they can knee it and get the game.
What a
great finish right there with Lancaster Clarence.
Well, you knew it was going to be an unbelievable
matchup. Oh, absolutely it was. And I'm going to tell you, which the potential matchups in AA for next week, when you're talking about Lancaster going down to Jamestown now, wow, is all I want to say is you do not want to miss that one.
And then, how are they health-wise going in? You're looking at Jamestown and Lancaster. A lot of people are going to wonder, are both teams going to be at full strength?
It sounds like it.
To the best of my knowledge. Yeah, somebody on either one of those teams is not available, I haven't heard about it yet.
Okay. Lancaster had a couple key injuries during that Clarence the last time, but they were getting healthy and felt like they were healthy going into the playoffs. And then the other matchup that you're going to be talking about is not that you want to assume anything, but right now you probably have to give the nod to Bennett, especially after a big win over already beating Niagara Falls just the previous week. Could be another Bennett Orchard Park matchup, which you know Bennett is licking their chops over that one. But think about that. Bennett Orchard Park, Jamestown, Lancaster. Man, you can't ask for a better weekend next week.
Any matchups from there are going to be fun for the stadium.
Absolutely.
Can we put both games in the same site and just stay there all day?
So, that just great to see. It really
would
is.
Be nice if one of those two games was moved to Saturday. So you could see both games.
That's true.
I don't think, have they released the times for them yet?
I'm sure they'll both be Friday night. Orchard Park will want a Friday night game, and I'm almost sure Jamestown will take the Friday night game.
Well, you would think Jamestown, that would be an advantage to having them have a Friday night game just for the fact of the travel that's there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we look at, too, some of the other games that I thought were also, let's look at. I sat here and told you guys last week South Park would get a run from Will North, and it's exactly what happened in a 14-7 game. Watch the line play in there. That's the one area where South Park's got to improve on to be able to go on to that next level, and you're going to see some of that start to take place, especially with McKinley's line. I think McKinley's got a very good line, and we know Sweet Home had a very good line with 200 300-pounders on that line. And you're talking about Sweet Home also getting a run, gave a run right at McKinley with a 1-point
game.
What a tough game.
Okay, it won't be South Park McKinley. If they play each other, it'll be at the Ralph.
They're both first place.
McKinley's going to
the way you said run. It sounded like you were.
No, I'm saying along the line that they're going to make.
Keep in mind for A1, you know, McKinley really, I don't think they faced as good of a line as they had with Sweet Home, especially Sweet Home, the guys up the middle on their defense. And I think it showed that, you know, they got a little bit of run for their money. And I think this last night showed the disparity between A1 and A2. You know, Star Point had Carson Marcus was out and Joe Carlson.
And Justin Bauman, the OC, because he got tossed in the Lockport game last week. So he wasn't even eligible to coach and just talking with everybody.
You never see that happen.
But
and we had Coach Bauman on the show this summer.
For some context, that is Joe Carlson's brother-in-law. So I don't know if I'm just saying I'm not excusing what he did, but you know, that just to add to it. But you know, he was really the only person that had real knowledge of the offense. So you know, they were just handicapped all the way around offensively. Mm-hmm. But West Seneca West, they're a team that you can't sleep on either. You know, they got a great running game. Their quarterback.
According to the paper this morning, he's questionable for next week. The West Seneca West quarterback. Really? I guess he got dinged.
Oh, he did actually. Yes, he didn't play. I want to say for majority of the fourth quarter, they had the lead at that point. But
is that Simmons or Shuler? Shuler. You're talking?
Okay. Shuler. Yep. Yeah, Simmons. He looks pretty good.
Quarterback. This quarterback's bigger than I am. You ought to see. He plays D end on defense, D line, and he's the quarterback.
And he. He's their best D end. Like, don't run at him.
Oh, yeah. If they're the Trench Trophy candidate from West Seneca West, it's their quarterback.
It's their quarterback. Yeah, and he can sling it a little bit, too. So, I mean, he can be dangerous if he's healthy next week.
He was supposed to be the quarterback last year before Robertson actually came into play over there.
Yeah.
He was actually the one, if you remember, everybody was talking about during the spring sessions.
Well, he was supposed to actually get it the season before Myers came in.
Right.
Speaking of Myers, isn't
Myers hurt now for UB?
He's done for the year. They said he's not coming back this year.
Wow, what happened to him?
He got dinged, two games ago?
Yeah, a couple games ago.
What, knee?
I really don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly the full extent.
You know, because it's the upper body or lower body. So I hate that.
Take a look, to be honest with you.
I feel bad for him. I want to continue where we were going, and you guys were talking about in Class A and how Sweet Home gave McKinley all that they can handle and what West Seneca West was able to do. We talk about South Park. Then we go down to Class B in Maritime. They're continuing to show unbelievable amount of strength.
They got, in my opinion, certainly a finalist for the Trench Trophy, one of the best linemen in Western New York. He is unstoppable. I want to say Trayvon. Oh, come on.
One of their linemen did chain crew during one of my games against the Buffalo Vets, and that kid was huge.
Okay, that's probably him. Probably 6'4", and didn't look like he had an ounce of body fat on him.
I don't know. He blotted out the sun.
Then that's probably him.
Where did mountain come from?
I know I saw him in the Dunkirk game. He was unstoppable. And I mean literally, possibly with the exception of kickoffs after they scored, he was on the field both sides of the ball the whole game. I'd be stunned if he wasn't one of the finalists.
All right, guys, forecast C for me. How's that going to wind up? Is Wilson going to make it to the stadium?
They should.
Good question.
So is it Wilson and what against what?
No. In my opinion, one of the best kept secrets, because we don't know how good they are, is Portville, the second seed from C South. They're, other than the game against Southwestern, and who has a good game against Southwestern, Portville has ran the table. Portville-Wilson may be one of the best semi-playoff games next week in all the classes.
That's true. And I want to give a big shout-out to them because they actually, well, 37 points last night. You know, they've been more of a methodical ball control type of offense this year, but they kind of exploded a little bit. So, you know, maybe some things coming for the Lakeman offense moving forward.
Anthony, as far as Southwestern concerned, Nelson Adams from the Connolly Cup Committee sent me a text to answer Tom's question. Just last year, Cole Snyder and Alex Card were both finalists for the Connolly.
But that wasn't running back quarterback. That was wide receiver and quarterback. And I said the running back quarterback combo.
Okay.
Yeah, I get last year that was you've seen the two together have done great. But I'm talking about a running back and a quarterback at those positions, right? Two totally different, and that's offensive positions that don't rely on each other. That's what I was talking about last
time. I can think back to it. Well, speaking of Cole Snyder, he brings up a good point. Think about what Southwestern and Wilson are doing after losing their starting quarterbacks from last year. You have Frerichs, the guy who's playing the next level. Obviously, Cole Snyder's now at Rutgers. And it looks like, you know, these two teams, Wilson and Southwestern, on collision course with the stadium. That's almost unheard of.
And Atlas does such a nice job managing that offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Both Atlases.
Both Atlases, father and son. Mm-hmm. You don't see them get rattled. You know, they're calm. There's no, you know, I've seen dads, you know, jumping down sons' throats. You don't see any of that. Of course, Mrs. Atlas would probably jump in there, start throwing some haymakers at her husband if he did that. But I like watching them. They're just, you know, they get excited, don't get me wrong, but just nice and calm, get out there and don't play above our heads. Let's do what we do best.
Yeah, they got a good defense. They run the ball well with Braden Dunlap and Drew Westmoreland. And Westmoreland, he's been healthier the last couple of weeks. He was dealing with a hamstring injury early in the season, but this is an all-state.
And it's not a big team.
Big at all. No more than 20 kids.
23 kids on the roster, yeah. And physically they don't have a lot of size. The wide receiver defensive end may be the biggest kid around 240.
Yeah, Declan Ferry, who has 11. Well, coming into this weekend, had 11 sacks, so he's been a menace off the edge.
6'4", he's a big kid.
It's a problem.
Yeah, he is. All right, guys, let's take a break, and when we come back, look at some of today's. I know, Raj, this hour's going by so fast. And don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us right here at WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, then a Sports Talk Saturday. Don't forget, tomorrow, Bills coverage, Bills Eagles all day long right here, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm excited for this game tomorrow. I don't know what it is. I remember the last Bills Eagles game I went to. Randall Cunningham escaping Bruce Smith before the end of the first half, and then he launches this bomb touchdown. I'm like, whoa!
You know he had a 90-yard punt in that game too?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was crazy. I was telling my son last night that about quarterbacks that could also punt, and I mentioned Randall Cunningham and his ability to punt. He was a great great athlete. Yeah. UNLV, baby.
Right.
He was there, I think it was a year before I showed up. It was when I went to UNLV. Icky Woods was the star of the team. They would do the Icky Shuffle.
Are you the one that taught him the Icky Shuffle?
No. I was busy playing rugby. I didn't get to go and attend any of their games. By the way, you guys are all welcome to come over to my house today and help out in Man versus Leaves. This will be the first. This will be the first installment of many battles from now until December. Oh, I hate
coming to a lawn near you.
Exactly. I used to love this time of year. Fall so pretty and nice, and until I started battling the leaves.
It's a tough one. It really is.
They beat me last year because I was still recovering from surgery. I couldn't get out there and do the work. So
that's why you have a kid. Year.
Yeah, he's still not old enough.
He's not old enough to use a rake.
Well, he's old enough to use a rake, but try to get him out there for more than a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
I'm tired.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Why he put off the electronics?
Even the 18-year-olds and the 20-year-olds do that.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I thought when I was going to have a son, this would be great. It'll help me out, but
One more from Mike Deluto at St. Francis. Quarterback
Roger, adjust the mic.
Quarterback Jim Kubiak and running back Mark Kalversic were Connelly Cup finalists. That's a few years ago.
Wow. Just a few.
Just a few years. Few years ago.
So I making my point, this combo doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
and
during
Ritz
the break,
and Janzlik are making that as a play right now, why they should be a combo that doesn't normally happen.
During the break, we were going over this and going through our history and our minds and coming up all these combos. Okay, was it this one? Was it that one? No, that one was just a sophomore. And you're right. It is so rare. And the fact that these could be, you know, it could be, the race could come down to those two. That's pretty amazing. And like you were saying, Raj, we'll never know from the Connelly Cup committee, you know, if two teammates were 1 and 2.
And will they cancel each other? Because, like I say, the one year I'm almost sure Jeff Tundo and Kyle Hoppe were finalists and all that. And neither one of them won that year. Jeff Tundo won as a junior, but not as a senior.
Yeah, and he did have an amazing year that year, too. That's unbelievable. All right, let's look at some of the games going on today. As we mentioned, let's see, we got in
Chautauqua Lake is at JFK in the other Class C final for the right to play Southwestern. Winner gets to go down to Southwestern. Oh, boy.
Yeah, good luck to both of those teams. That's going to be an interesting game. How about this this Class A battle, Grand Island at Kenmore West? I think that game last night with McKinley Sweet Home spells a lot of trouble for this Kenmore West team.
Because
they had trouble with this McKinley line, and Sweet Home didn't quite have as much trouble. I think with a guy like Blake Bielik, I'm telling you, is like literally a bowling ball.
He's
at
a
fullback.
Bulldozer.
Going up the middle against this Kenmore West team, they're going to have a lot of trouble with him. And they do like a sort of triple option off of that with their quarterback Ben Muscala and running back Jack Dugalinski. This could be a long day for Kenmore West.
I told you when I saw Grant Niles, this is a Zonka type running back.
Oh,
he's just
goodness.
So big. Get him going. I even saw him return a kickoff. Yeah, you don't want to get in his way.
That kid can move. Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about that game. Ben Muscala. They had a three-game losing streak, three of the last four games. Muscala rushed for at least 111 yards in three of those games. One game, 150, another game, 136. This is your quarterback we're talking about. You know, so this kid's accounted for 1,000 yards of offense for Grand Island. And, you know, I think they pose a lot of trouble for Ken West. I actually just wanted to talk a little bit about this game, too, because big shout-out to Coach Santorio. I'm getting the team back into the playoffs. First off, you know, coming back a year off of losing a Cam Cianco, four-year starter, but he actually is coaching through his father passed away a couple weeks back. So kudos to him for, you know, getting through that. But, you know, they needed to win last weekend by 17 points, and it was the most improbable win. They were up by 8 with about 3 minutes left. They punt the ball back. They get a pick, go down, score, onside kick with like a minute left, go down, score again, and get the two-point conversion to get to 17. So the fact that they're even in this game is unbelievable. But, yeah, I really think they can pose some challenges with that offense.
And Dean's a great guy. If you ever get a chance to meet him, he's a wonderful person to talk to, and he's a tremendous coach, not only in football but also in baseball. You know, the game that I think is going to be a lot of fun today is Olean Newfane, another 2 o'clock kickoff, especially Newfane with that big
Jaden Hears.
Yeah.
That's a baby bus. The baby bus, man. Seriously.
That's just
you don't tackle the wheels on the bus go round and round.
You don't tackle him with his first three steps before he gets ahead of his team. I don't know if you're going to tackle him.
I saw him make a move against Tonawanda. He, you know, made a little dead leg juke, bounced outside.
No, see, if you're that big, you shouldn't juke. No, you just got to run people over.
Tap danced on the sideline, sprinted into the end zone. I'm like, there's nobody stopping this kid. He's a beast.
If you're that big, you should not have moves. I'm sorry. It should be illegal.
Throw
a flag.
I know.
First time I saw him, Anthony, it was against Burgard. What's Burgard's nickname? At All High a year ago. And I says, what's this lineman doing wearing number 44? And he got to come out of the huddle, and this guy lines up in the backfield. Oh, my God. And he doesn't look like he has that much body fat either. Looks solid.
Hey, he's a wrestler.
That's a state champion wrestler.
He's sectional champion.
Sectional champion.
That can run, 250-pound state wrestling champion that can run the
4.7 40.
Yeah. College coaches love wrestling champions.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Anthony, one more final from Dennis Cerro. How could we forget this one? Casey Kaz and Dejanero Morris were finalists.
Oh, come on. I can't believe I didn't remember that.
I know. Okay. My
knew
bad.
One of the Sweet Home tandems was up there. I figured that.
And that was a scary backfield. Because it wasn't just those two.
No. Well, wasn't Jordan like a freshman on that team?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Jordan was a sophomore or a freshman.
Yeah, I know. He was on that team. Yeah.
Not fair.
Underclassman.
How crazy is that?
Boy, that caused a lot of text
didn't
I?
At least we got people listening. Good play, Tom.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks. Appreciate you chiming in with that. In case you were thinking about going to the Cardinal O'Hara, team from Sycamore? Sycamore backed out, so Cardinal O'Hara has got a bye this week. They're not going to, and that stinks because we were talking about before the show. How many games did they have to miss this year? Three?
I think that's their third game they missed.
That's crazy.
And that stinks. You want to be able to see teams. You know, I understand the first game, you didn't have the players, but after that, you should be able to get games.
Yeah, especially like after dealing with that already, you know, you would think that they would be.
And it's already difficult for my Senior Martin teams to book games. You know, yeah. I hate to see that.
Okay, watch Bennett today. Perry Campbell getting ready for their run. Okay, this is a great tune-up game to go what they need to go into. Watch those two make a big game. They're going to make a play to why they're some of the best running backs in Western New York.
Yeah. Question, did Bennett hold anything back when they faced the Falls last week in anticipation of facing them this week?
I don't think they could have really known the matchup because you didn't know how the Orchard Park game was going to play out.
Yeah.
You didn't know where you were going to land in the seedings to know that they would have had that exact matchup come their way.
The right scenario, they could have actually been the third seed this week.
Okay.
Or they are the third. They could have been up to
I just know how coaches second. Like to overthink. You might get a couple steps ahead. Yeah. So I didn't know, but I don't think they're gonna. I think they put it all out on the field today.
Yeah, last weekend Campbell rushed for 170, Perry rushed for 150. So that ground attack is going to be important for them today.
All right, guys, thanks much. A lot of fun this morning. Next week we'll be back at it with the next round of playoffs. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with next week with more Inside High School Sports.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.